Your business, your life. Weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on San Diego's ESPN 1700.
This is the Ray Lucia Show.
I'm going to sit back for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the Ray Lucia program. Glad to have you on board. Phone lines open for Beeswax, 844-RAY-SHOW. If you want to check in with the boys here, 844-729-7469. Emails at raylucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. It'll get you right to me. If you email me during the course of the program, I will, in fact, get to it. Lots on the agenda today. Gene Pastula stopping by. We'll check in with Gene as my topics for today include stress testing your retirement portfolio and a discussion today about the difference between accumulation strategies and decumulation strategies. You see, in investing, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, at least in my humble opinion, with many, many years of experience in doing this. You have advisors that do a very good job in the accumulation phase. They help you with asset allocation and rebalancing and making sure you have, you know, small cap value and REITs and all that stuff, because what we know is when you add small cap value and REITs to your portfolio over long time horizons, you end up with better, at least by historical standards, rates of return and so forth. And so the accumulation advisors focus on helping you to accumulate as much money as possible. They help you with savings plans and 401ks and Roths and even HSAs. And then there's the decumulation advisors. And it's rare that you find those that can do both and do both well. Because a person that's involved with managing portfolios, as an example, they're really looking for opportunities, opportunities to invest your money to get a better rate of return and so forth. When we get to decumulation, it almost takes a different kind of a nerd, someone that focuses on post-retirement tax planning, post-retirement health care planning, post-retirement income planning, sequence of returns risk, longevity, all of that stuff. And so the difference between accumulation and decumulation, that's coming up with Mr. Gene Pastula here coming up in just a bit. Also, stress testing your retirement. How well is your portfolio doing year to date? I might get a chance to talk about that. I did get an email on interest rates that I'll get to. But I start today with this. There are many retirement risks, four basic ones. Sit back, folks. Relax. It's the Ray Program going through some of these basic retirement income risks. Interestingly enough, number one on the list is something we don't talk about much anymore because we haven't seen much of it anymore. And that is inflation. But according to a 2017 Allianz Life study, it's an inflation study, they found that the majority of investors don't have a plan that addresses the rising cost of living. According to Allianz, nearly one-third of Americans claim they were either panicked or very worried about inflation. Yet 64% of them do not have a financial plan to address the rising cost of living in retirement. Well, isn't that true? I mean, 64% don't have a plan, but a good chunk of these people are worried about rising costs in retirement. Now, I've discussed ad nauseum on this show how spending tends to go down. But spending is different than inflation. Inflation causes prices to go up. Those prices keep going up. And for retirees, they usually go up at a higher pace than for non-retirees, because the stuff retirees consume, like health care and perhaps travel and so forth, typically go up at a faster clip than the actual rate of the CPI. That's why they have what is called a CPIE, for the E standing for, well, it doesn't really stand for elderly. It stands for experimental, but it's called the elderly's CPI because retirees have, there's more exposure to them from an inflation perspective. So on one hand, they spend less on stuff, but on the stuff that they're spending money on, they spend more money. Sounds a little confusing, but it's true. So consider this, Allianz says. The U.S. Census Bureau projects that individuals retiring today at age 65 could expect to live another 20 years based on life expectancy tables. With a modest inflation rate of 2.5%, costs would double over the course of a period of 28 years. Now, that's 65 making it to 85. I think Mr. Pastula would tell you that when the actuaries sit down, they say, well, you know what? There's that median, and the median individual makes it to age 85. And you go on the, you know, age 100 calculators and all that stuff. If you're 65, they're likely going to say you're going to die 84, 85, about 20 years later. But if you make it to 85 and you're not dead, what do you do then? What do you do then? Because a person that makes it to 85 probably has a pretty good chance of making it to 90 or 95. So how do you plan around that? We'll let Mr. Pastula deal with that, because the next income risk on the list here is longevity. On average, the Census Bureau also estimates that by the year 2020, women will live to 81.9 and men will live to 77.1. Well, they're using statistics that pretty much say these are average. So half of the people are going to live longer than that. Half are going to live shorter than that. Or median numbers, if you will. But once again, if you make it to 81.9 and you're a woman, there's a very high likelihood that you will continue to live for perhaps a good number of years. And you've heard me talk about longevity before, and a couple aged 65 has about a 50% chance that one or the other will make it to 92, and a 25% chance that one or the other will make it to 97. And those are statistics I've been quoting for 10 years, so they're probably even better today in terms of life expectancy. The next one is the rate of consumption. And this is a biggie, because a lot of people, when they retire on a fixed amount of income. And if their consumption changes, if they haven't planned for inevitable emergencies, if they haven't planned for potential inflation, then they could find themselves running out of money. And it's why we discuss strategies all the time of postponing taking your Social Security, working a couple of years longer, using annuities and reverse mortgages as a planning strategy to be able to get more money inflation adjusted out of your Social Security. The rate of consumption, and then finally, and this is not a little one, this is a biggie, market volatility. We discuss this as something called sequence risk. If you retire at a bad time, and I don't know if I'll get to it this hour, but there was a big, huge study, I think Prudential did it, a big, huge study that said if you retire after a big year in the stock market, a couple of things happen. You're more likely to pick that next year as a retirement date. I mean, it's significant. Significant. And you're also more likely to suffer an early retirement decline in your portfolio value. That's called sequence of returns risk. And it can be devastating to a portfolio that isn't designed for income. If it's still your accumulation portfolio and you're planning on taking what they call SWIPs, systematic withdrawal plan, or systematic withdrawals from your portfolio, that sequence risk can really wreak havoc on your retirement. So we got a lot of stuff to talk to our expert, Mr. Gene Pastula, coming up in just a bit about. We'll see what he's got up his sleeve to help you manage inflation risk, sequence risk, consumption risk, and all of the other risks, longevity, taxes. I don't know if he can get to all this stuff, but if he can't, just remember one thing. I'm here every day, so I will. If he doesn't, I'm going to challenge him in the next segment or two to see if he can cover all of those. Stick around, 844-RAY-SHOW if you want to talk with Gene, or simply email us right now, raylucia.com, RAYLUCIA.com. This is The Ray Lucia Show. Don't go away.
Your business, your life. ESPN 1700.
And welcome back to The Ray Lucia Show. As we conquer this whole concept of accumulation advisory services and decumulation advisory services, and it's rare that you find someone that's got it down, including Mr. Pastula, who is an expert in the decumulation side of the house. Gene, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah,
you're the man.
Sure isn't that hot on the accumulation side.
Well, you know, you and I spent a lot of years trying to figure that one out.
It doesn't seem like I
it's am. It's very, very hard for, I mean, I don't know how my kids and others that are involved in the money management business have the temperament to do it. I mean, yeah. That's life shortening. I know, because for many years I attempted to do it with my own money and client money, and I chose after a while, because I don't believe that you can be a good planner, a good financial advisor, and a good stock picker and money manager all at the same time. It's kind of like insurance.
Yeah.
You know, looking at all of the nuances in property and casualty coverages, and then life insurance and disability and long-term care, it's almost like you need to be a specialist in whatever field you're in today.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I gravitated to a specialty, because I never could feel comfortable that I was making, you know, all the right decisions for a client. You know, it's his money and I'm telling him what to do with it, whether you're picking a stock or you're picking a stock picker. You know, it's a stressful thing. Some, you know, a lot of people have a better feel for it, and they feel more comfortable and what have you. But I didn't.
So I went through these various risks. I'm sure you heard me talk about it.
Right.
You know, inflation risk and longevity risk and so forth. And you know, you being here, it obviously brings to mind the concept of annuitizing income.
Yeah, you know, when you put all this together, these are the things, and I think most people don't even really, I mean, they don't define it as tightly as you have and say, you know, I'm afraid of this and that and the next thing. All they know is that there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty when, and it's a much bigger deal when you have to rely on the performance of that portfolio or the assets that you've accumulated in order to sustain a lifestyle going forward for a period of time you don't even know for sure how long it's going to be. There's a lot of, I mean, on both sides, you know, what to do and for how long are the two major ones. And by the way, am I going to get sick or really decapitated? Do what? I don't forget the name, what the word was. But you got it? No?
I'm still trying to figure out how ISIS got into this conversation.
Yeah. But, you know, so you don't know when, you know, something can strike health-wise that could, you know, a stroke or something, you know, a trip and a fall or what have you. I mean, I've seen all of it that just, you know, even cuts that time short or changes the environment.
Okay, but hang on.
Yeah.
The 900-pound elephant in the room is, I hate annuities. I'll never sell an annuity. I'm a broker, financial guy that makes money charging you 1 or 2% to manage it, and I can manage it better than the annuity company can manage it.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that you can, most people can only handle so much detail. While annuities are quite complicated, but so are, you know, so is the market and the techniques and the, all the strategies and all the rest of the stuff that go into that. And I work with financial planners, have for years, all over the country. And you know, basic theme that runs through them is that they get really confident. I can't tell you whether they're good or not, but they're confident in their ability to recommend strategies and processes going forward when it comes to investments, because they know a lot of the details. They can't also know all the details about annuities. So, you know, it's not their business and what have you. And so it gets a bad rap. But the most important thing that comes out of it for me is that you really need to understand that there's bad in everything. I mean, there's bad cars, there's bad mutual funds, there's bad everything, you know. And there's annuities that aren't all that great either. But on the other hand, if you understand what it is you're trying to accomplish, and you can relate that to somebody who has the ability to sift through that and narrow down the best idea or the best strategy or product that will accomplish your goals, now all of a sudden you have a really good annuity and it'll do what you want it to do.
Okay, but hang on. Let's go back. Mm-hmm. Fees are high.
No.
Commissions are high. You're ripping me off. Mm-hmm. And the guy that manages money only gets paid if he makes money for me.
Right. Actually, that's not true. The guy that manages money gets paid every year based on a percentage of the amount of money he's managing. Now, a few of them will say, but I won't take it unless the value goes up. But for the most part, they get paid regardless of the direction of the fund. But there are annuities, like variable annuities, that have a lot of fees in them that relate to a lot of benefits that they provide. So, you know, you can question whether that's high, low, or indifferent, but unless you're actually an actuary and a financial guy in an insurance company, you really don't know whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Didn't Moshe Milevsky come out about 10 or 15 years ago saying to all the insurance companies, you're not charging enough in fees for those annuities?
Well, actually, if you look at the way annuities have kind of metamorphosized over the last 20 years, you can see just when they decided, whoa, wait a minute, you know, the benefits that we're promising and now we're paying are a lot more expensive than what we priced for, and they make these adjustments and what have you. You know, they're not, for the most part, they're not out there to rip the public off. They're out there to provide benefits that only they can provide, like guaranteeing that you will receive an income, if that's the kind of annuity you're getting, for as long as you live, no matter how long you live, regardless of whether or not we've used up all the money and all the interest it ever earns that you've given us. And we have to guarantee that. Okay, so there's a price for that.
But there are annuities that have no fees, period.
Actually, the majority of the ones that are actually being promoted now are those kinds. That they really, here's the deal, you know. No, there might be one fee in there that they tell you it's right there, and that's it. And so if you learn about them, you see that kind of stuff is not true.
Okay, so if you want to get all of the scoop on this stuff, and by the way, if you spend as much time doing research as I do on retirement planning, you will find that literally every study that we've seen in the last 10 years that's come out has said annuitizing a percentage of your retirement wealth is the best thing you can do. More on this when we come back with Gene Pastula, SafeMoneyMonitor.com. Stick around.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, You call me. I can't make you do this stuff, and I'm watching you do stupid all the time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at 11 on ESPN 1700.
I've got the antidote, so you just call me when you've had enough.
We'll be wrapping with Gene Pastula here, certified financial planner. We're talking about the different retirement risks and the fact that Gene's area of specialization is in the decumulation. It's not so much about rate of return when you're retiring. It's about how much income can I get, how safe and stable is that income, and how long will it last, rather than rate of return. Because clearly, if you retire and your timing is wrong, you were born on the wrong date, and you suffer that 50, 60% decline that we know is going to happen, we just don't know when, and that's early in retirement, it's dead. You're dead meat. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to retire comfortably. And what Gene is here to try to convince you to do is take advantage of the research that's been done by academics from all around the world and purchase an annuity, postpone taking your Social Security, work a couple of extra years, make sure you have emergency funds stashed away. Don't put all your money in annuities. Have some money, of course, in the stock market, but allow the stock market enough time to do what we know it's done, which is over long time periods, it goes up 7, 8, 9, 10, 11% per year on a compounded basis. So back to the annuities, which get horrible raps because the money managers want that money. See, that's what this is really all about, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly a big part of it. That's right. And that's what, you know, that's what sets the conversation and what have you. I would add to what you just said, because listening to what you're saying, it's like, all right, I'm 62 years old or 65 years old or whatever, and I'm setting up my portfolio to do the best job for my retirement, et cetera. But you know what? The area where it starts to become even more obvious how great these things are for people who maybe now have been in retirement for several years. They're in their, let's say, mid-70s, and it's getting tight. The inflation has taken its toll. Maybe they would have gone through a big downturn at the beginning of their retirement, most likely, if they're that age. They're wishing that this portfolio would give them more money every month, but their advisor or their just common sense says, if I take any more money than I'm getting right now, I'm putting my longevity protection at risk, etc. And it's a real dilemma. It's amazing, you know, when we're talking to individuals in their middle 60s, we're showing them how, in many cases, they can receive an income equal to 5.5 or 6% of the money that they give to an insurance company to generate lifetime income, you know, right from the get-go.
Well, so somebody puts $200,000 in, they can get $12,000
exactly
for the rest of their $1,000
a month for the rest of their life.
And it could be joint life, mm-hmm, and there could
and each one adjusts a little bit, but yeah, that's the idea. Whereas the financial planner, if he's a reputable financial planner, is going to say, you know what, we can set up a portfolio that'll last as long as you do, or has a 90% chance of lasting as long as you do, is the way they typically will put it, but we can only give you 3.5% of your income every year. So now you're almost doubling it by using an annuity for part of the money at least. But when you get to be 75 or 76 and what have you, and you're looking to do better than 3% on your portfolio, you look at the annuities and what they're doing, and oh my goodness, it's 6.5-7% of the amount that you give them that you receive in the form of income for life. And if you're in your 80s, it's 7, 7.5, 8, you know. So the value of these things as you go along can can be very impressive. I've been working with somebody who over the years, who every now and then will take an extra $100,000 or $150,000 from his portfolio that's been in the market and what have you in a more conventional way, and he buys a fixed annuity with it. And then 6-7 years later, he buys another fixed annuity with it, and he gets these big bumps in income if he needs them, and he knows that that potential is always there.
You know, this has been studied by the researchers, as you know. I've quoted it many, many times. But in reality, by doing, in essence, what Gene is talking about, it gives you the ability to tweak your portfolio so that it's more aggressive. You're using what Wade Fowle calls actuarial bonds. In fact, he has said bonds don't even belong in your retirement portfolio, but there's literally trillions of dollars sitting in bonds in retirement portfolios. He's saying use actuarial bonds, kick up the rest of your portfolio a notch, and two things will happen. One is you'll have a higher, longer inflation-adjusted income. You'll live happier and healthier. That's a proven statistical fact. And depending on how long you live, you'll leave your heirs richer than they would have been left had you not done it. All of the things that I used to worry about, because it used to be, well, yeah, if you put your money in an annuity, you're kind of screwing the kids. If you do it right, if you do it the way the researchers tell you to do it, add the longevity protection and then kick up a notch the rest of your portfolio using the so-called actuarial bond concept, you end up leaving your heirs richer than they would have been. And that, to me, is a really exciting part of planning.
The other thing is that the less stress you have in retirement, the healthier you are in retirement, and the longer you live happily in retirement. There's no question about that. So, and I've stressed on this program, you know, many, many times that I'm all for having the least amount of stress in my life at this point. And one of those is, I'm a news junkie. I mean, I love to watch or listen to the news on a most daily basis, because it's stories that you can't make up.
I mean, That's for sure.
But they come fast and furious in a relatively negative manner. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be, you know, concerned and what have you. But if you're financially in a situation where you know that paycheck is coming in from Social Security, that paycheck is coming in from your annuity, which is your personal pension plan, your personal Social Security plan, if you will, and you have those together with maybe a pension or whatever else, and then your whatever's left in your portfolio. You know, we talk a lot about people who, you know, to people who have, you know, we usually take $1 million or whatever, but there's tons of people out there who have half that amount or even less, that they don't need a ton of money, but they need to get as much income as they can out of that without any risk.
A person that has $1 million probably has some margin for error. Mm-hmm. A person with $250,000 doesn't.
Not much. That's right. And so, you know, you can take a little bit more risk, or you can sustain yourself through a downturn in the market. If you're starting out with $1 million in your portfolio before that happens. But if you've got $250,000 or $300,000 in your portfolio, that's, you know, you can't take a lot of risk on that, and you can sure sleep better at night if a substantial portion of that is generating a lifetime guaranteed income.
So there are really two concepts here. There's what we call the safety first approach, where you manage the risk of making sure that you have enough money to cover your essential expenses in retirement, whatever the essential ones are. You know, your rent, your health care, your food, and so forth. And then the balance can be handled by stocks and bonds and other fluctuating assets like real estate and so forth. And then there's the probability-based, which is really the old-fashioned pie chart and a systematic withdrawal, which virtually everyone today that's in the know in retirement planning is saying, you know, that will work, and it might work most of the time, but there's really no assurance that it will work for you. And if you want an assurance that a plan will work for you, then you want to go to safemoneymonitor.com and talk to my buddy here, Gene Pastula. He doesn't bite, by the way. I don't think. Do you still bite?
No.
No.
I haven't bitten in years.
In years, okay. Yeah. Safemoneymonitor.com, 800-809-6783. Adopt a safety-first approach. You'll live happier. You'll live healthier because you're annuitized. Gene, thank you so much, my friend.
You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Yes.
SafeMoneyMonitor.com. Write that on your hand and check it out later on, or just call 800-809-6783. We'll be back with a business spotlight. Very interesting one coming up on the Ray Lucia Show.
Your business, your life. ESPN 1700.
Now, I grew up in a place called Poway, California. Beautiful spot. And it seems as if when I was a kid, every 6, 7, 8 years, every hill in Poway was on fire. And I can recall vividly standing on Jerry Carpenter's roof of his house, watering down the house and the yard and all that stuff. And there's fire all around us. Scary, scary stuff. And of course, we've been in a natural disaster situation here more recently with floods. And you start thinking about this. And my special guest, Michael Schlappman, joins me. He's the president of Fire Consulting International. And we're going to learn more about how we can protect ourselves. Michael, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about what Fire Consulting International is?
Yes, thank you, Ray, for letting me be on your show. I hope you'll be on mine sometime in at Fire. Speaking of fire.com. And so I would like to tell you that we can prevent a lot of these fires. There's over 1,300,000 fires in the United States every year, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and 3,500 people are killed. So what we can do is use not only common sense, but look at fire prevention sites and also look at all kinds of community things. Your fire department will help you with this. With that many people being killed and injured, all of the fire resources go to trying to prevent these things. And the one that you talked about, which is important, is the wildland fires. And some of them are started naturally by lightning, but some of them are also started by campfires, people throwing cigarettes out in very dry conditions. So you have to look at burning regulations and also whether or not it's dry enough or too dry to do a fire.
What are some things that just normal people can do to help protect themselves from a house fire?
Well, some normal things you can do is, first of all, have smoke detectors. That is the major thing that you can do to save your life, and it will alert you to fires early. You can put in new retrofitted sprinkler systems that will put the fires out. They're a lot more inexpensive than they've ever been before. So if you don't have them in your house, you can look into that. You can do things that are common sense things, but people don't understand it. And that is not use extension cords as permanent wiring, or overuse these power strips that they have six things of outlets and no breaker. You can get expensive ones that will break if it gets too hot, and not plug everything in. Use those big multi adapters on your outlets. Where it makes two into six and then put everything in there. That's overloading. Those are a couple of things. And, of course, you never plug an air conditioner into an extension cord.
Michael Schlappman is his name, and he is our guest. Fire Consulting International, FCIFire.com, if you want to check out more information. You know, I do a lot of traveling. I'm in a lot of hotels. Do you have any advice for individuals? Because I've been, called out a few times in hotels in the wee hours of the morning, running down the back stairway with no shoes on, barely in my underwear. Well, not really, but It scares the living bejeebers out of you.
And I don't blame you. Yes, you should be scared. The main thing is that you know, first of all, don't stay above the seventh floor, if possible, because that's how far the ladders reach from the ground, seven floors up. Number two is when you get to a room, make sure you know exactly where the exit is and you know how to get out of there and get to the exit. The last thing is try not to take any heavy sleep potions so you would sleep through the alarms, which it's very difficult to do that. Make sure that there are alarms in some of the older, very, very old places that were grandfathered in don't have the proper alarm system. So look for the annunciators. There's those things that flash on the wall that tell you there's a fire. And there's over $4 billion. I know you're a very good finance guy. There's over $4 billion in fraudulent claims alone in the United States, and billions of dollars are lost in both commercial and home fires. There'll be a lot more now after these floods. There'll be some more fires. We know that.
Fire Consulting International, www.fcifire.com if you want to learn more about this stuff. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us on the Ray Lucia Show. Go out and make it a great day, my friend. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Yeah, I actually lost a home. I had just sold it. And like 6 months later, the people that bought it from me, the house went down in the fire. I've been evacuated, I think it's three times now, because we just lived in an area that it seemed like every year, about this time, October or so, every 5-6 years, there'd be this massive fire. And if anybody that's followed the news in San Diego knows how devastating those fires can be. So check out information at www.fcifire.com. Learn more about Michael Schlattman. It's time for emails, fellas, so let's hit it.
Oh, yes, wait a minute.
You know, I got one in during the break, so I want to go to this email from Janice first, if I can. So you guys don't have it to put up on the screen for the TV viewers, but I'll read it. So Janice writes, Ray, love the show. Thank you very much, Janice. I love yours. If Trump gets his tax cuts, then inflation will likely heat up. If the economy heats up, interest rates will likely rise. What will that do to the bond funds in my portfolio? Well, what's interesting, Janice, is we just talked about how maybe using actuarial bonds in your portfolio can make a lot of sense. Yeah, instead of bond funds, because you can get yields that are about the same. I'm not poo-pooing the idea of owning any bonds in a portfolio, but I would easily slice my bond allocation in half in favor of fixed annuities with the option. I say option because you don't have to do it, to convert that into a lifetime income at some later date. But here's the answer to your question. If rates go up, let's say the 10-year treasury, if it goes up from 2.5% to 3%, your principal loss over the next 6 months is minus 4.1%. Over the next year, it's minus 3.9%. If rates go up one percentage point, you'll lose 8%. Now, think about that. You're getting paid 2.5 to lose 8 if rates go up 1%, and you lose that 8 over the next 6 months, it's 7.7 over the next year. If rates go up 200 basis points, which is not likely, but if they went up to 4.5%, you'd lose 15.3%, 14.7 over the course of a year. That's a lot of principal loss. So use actuarial bonds. How's that? I'm out of time. Thank you so much. Well, make it a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.
You're to the Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.